So what you can see in this tray is this year's Ngazi spat. It's about 3 mil to 4 mil, and we've got a catch this year, so they're the babies, they're this year's stock.
Well, it's taken 6 years of trial and error for shellfish growers Steve Leslie and Yvonne Young. But next month, they'll begin the first commercial harvest of the native Ngazi oyster here in Tasmania.
So, Steve, what you've done is hook us up to this floating tray. It's got floats and it's got mesh inside it, and the spat is inside that. So you're actually harvesting, they're catching this wild?
We're catching the Ngazis from the wild because there's no hatchery production in Tasmania, and grow them there as single seed. And there are thousands of them in there.
Hello, I'm Sally Dacus. Steve and Yvonne aren't new to aquaculture. They used to grow mussels on this lease on the Tasman Peninsula. When that became uneconomic, they turned their attention to developing a high-value, niche business using this slow-growing native Ngazi oyster. They've taste-tested them out with local chefs in Hobart, and the results look really promising. The other major benefit of growing Ngazis is that they're immune to the deadly Pacific Oyster Mortality Syndrome, or POMS, a disease that's recently been detected in commercial oyster leases in the state.
Tell me about the history of Ngazis.
Well, there's very few of them growing. They were originally, back in the 1800s, were a dredge fishery, and they virtually died out, or they were overfished. And they've never, because they're a slower growing species, they have never been really of interest to cultivate them. So people are just starting to get interested in them. And especially with POMS on the horizon, I think that kicked a bit more interest in there.
And where's your passion come from?
Yvonne's very passionate about Ngazis. Oh, I dub her the Ngazi queen.
Really?
Because everything's sacred here, you know, every Ngazi we've got on the farm's sacred.
You look at home here, so this shellfish culture thing is not new to you.
Well, no, we've been in the mussel industry since 1990, so it's only sort of since 2010 when the mussel industry was no longer profitable for the small mussel growers. We wanted to stay in aquaculture because we're passionate about aquaculture, so we wanted to think about what were the alternatives. So we wanted to try and grow oysters in one lease from spat through to market. So we were looking at both Pacific oysters and Ngazis.
So this is the future of your industry here, right in front of us.
This is year four. We've been at it for 6 years, but in the first years it was, just a hatful in the basket to see whether they would survive. And we've worked a technique out of growing them successfully over that time, but it's still very small.
Early days.
It's early days, very small, and we think we've got the combination of growing techniques right now to grow a pretty good oyster. Just get a bit closer. And even if you're backed over there, Evelyn.
So we're just approaching some submerged... this is where you would keep the oysters?
Yes, this is it's high tide, so they're well under the water at this stage, but they will emerge from the water at low tide. So you can see the oysters down there, locked down there about 3/4 of a metre under the water, and they're in their baskets down there.
So how old are these Ngazi oysters?
These ones would be 2, 2.5 years old. They're quite big stock.
Now, this is important because this is how you're managing the water, in the depth of the water, and this is critical to the ultimate quality of the Ngazi.
Yes, we think it's the combination of intertidaling them and growing them in the deep. They do all their growing in the deep, but they harden the shells, and each time you intertidal them, they've virtually got to start again. So they throw the new shell from inside the old shell, and that makes them cup. And we think that's why we're producing good quality oysters.
Now, you mentioned they're slower growing. Does that mean the market would really need to pay a premium to...
Absolutely. They'll take twice as long as a Pacific oyster to grow. So, and we are being able to get a premium in our little trial.
So we've just moved to our final spot here. So you just pulled some oysters up out of the water here, Yvonne. They were a younger generation?
Yes, they're about 1.5 to 2 years old. And they're really about that shape that we'd be sort of aiming for, cupping them up. And so here we've got the ladders that we're running in the deep water, and then we'll transfer them over to the intertidal water where they'll get the sunlight wave action and they'll get dried out a bit, and that sort of helps their abductor muscle to strengthen. So when they go to market, they've got a better shelf life.
Abductor muscle?
Yeah. No, it holds the shell closed. So normally when they're in the deep, they're feeding all the time, so they're opening and closing, and they can get lazy. But when they go onto the intertidal, they have to shut because otherwise they dry out. So their muscle then becomes stronger.
And that's better for eating quality?
It's better for eating quality, and it's also better for survivability. When they go to the marketplace, they stay fresher for longer.
So where to from here, Steve?
Well, we'll keep catching spat and keep growing oysters. This year, this April, will be the first time that we've grown anything of sort of commercial volumes. We'll probably produce about 15,000 dozen oysters this year, which is tiddlywinks compared to the main oyster industry. They produce them in the hundreds of thousands. It's just that slow pioneering starting process that achieved so far, and because of that, it's, you know, just a fledgling tiny little starting point. There's some really keen chefs in Hobart that are interested in, you know, provenance foods, native species, all of that, and they've been very supportive.